You found episode 3 of the Big River Solutions podcast. I'm Nikki Lloyd-Williams, and today we're talking about the in-store promotional activities by retailers that are influencing shopper behaviour. And I'm joined by some people who know the answers: Simon Spicer, Jenny Monroe, and Neil Hutton, part of the Big River Solutions team. So the promotional landscape has changed, but just how wedded to offers are shoppers these days?
I think shoppers are becoming numb to promotions now. I mean, they're really becoming part of the background, part of the wallpaper in store.
I think there are a lot of categories that you could say either commoditized, or you conditioned shoppers so much that they will only make purchases on when it's on promotion. I recently worked on the wine category, and there are some brands that the brand itself is on promotion for 50 weeks of the year in a particular supermarket chain. So inevitably, for the shopper, actually, they if they buy within a portfolio or a repertoire, they're just switching between brands depending upon what's on promotion. So what's adding value to the category in terms of promotion? Well, it's not. It's just switching from one brand to another, or pulling purchase forward by a week or two.
And I think the danger of something like that is for categories, for example, non-food, where it's not expandable. So shoppers are now waiting for a promotion to happen on certain products. They'll stock up on the products, so they've left the category for a period of time until that product is back on promotion, when they go back in again and basically stock up again. So it's quite a dangerous situation.
My brother's an extreme version. You open a cabinet in his bathroom cabinet, and he's got 20 identical shampoos. He's got, you know, 20 shower gels and so on. And he basically looked at me and said, "Well, I buy one, it's buy one, get one free. Why would I? It's not immediate consumption. There's no sell-by date on it. Why on earth would I not just buy in bulk and stock up?"
I think the level of discounts that we've seen in the last few years have been so intense. So the classic buy one, get one free, or 50% off, it's such a deep promotion, a deep discount, that, you know, you can't blame people for responding in such a radical way and stocking up, as you say. I think if the promotional depth was much lower, it would have a much more subtle impact on brand switching or on category growth, and probably a more positive impact overall.
But I do think that there's so many promotions going on now that actually shoppers are confused by actually how much they're saving. So they've a lot of sums to do in their heads when they're doing their shopping. You know, am I actually saving anything at all? What level am I actually saving? So I think we've got to a situation, there's so much going on in the store, it's quite confusing for them at times.
I think retailers have probably lost the broader definition of promotions as well. I mean, when we talk about promotions, it's almost always about discounting, whereas promotions in the broader sense are about display, about awareness in store, about sampling, about trial. I would like to see a move towards more sort of education in store and more engagement with the shopper to try and promote the brand or the product or the category more generally, rather than just offering a discount.
The elusive thing of my experience has been identifying and trying to actually explain the return on investment of different activities. So, and particularly when you're doing a number of different activities in the same retailer at the same time. So the question for me, from a commercial perspective, is if you had a pound for every pound that you're spending, is it better to do a price discount? Is it better to do a display? Is it better to do some kind of meaningful and longer term shopper relationship build or interaction? It's a very hard question to actually answer because of the complexities around each one of those aspects.
And equally, if we acknowledge, and we've talked about it in the other podcasts, is that if people are doing smaller shops and more often shops, they're shopping for a certain occasion or a mission. So I'm having my dinner tonight, I'm having friends around. And are we giving shoppers, I suppose, a solution, a promotional solution to encourage them or to help them buy across the categories that they need to buy for that mission? I don't think we've got there at all. I still think in the main we're doing the traditional promotions that we've done for many years, so the bog offs, the multi-buys and so forth. Have we actually moved with shoppers changing behaviour as such?
It's a very hard drug to give up from a retailer or a supplier's point of view, because they're always trying to annualise their sales. You know, if they did a deep cut promotion last year, of course that's in the budget for this year, and they have to do the same level of activity.
We cannot talk about promotions without mentioning Black Friday and Cyber Monday. What effect are these having?
an awful lot of hype. If you read the press, a lot of overexcitement, a lot of hype. Yes, a lot of sales as well, but probably not a lot of profit.
I think retailers across a number of categories, or in total, are looking for, constantly searching for, what are the next events? What are the seasonal events that we can make the most of? And you know, Cyber Monday or Black Friday is just another point on the calendar where you can actually get some interest and get the footfall up in store. But to your point, Neil, it's hard to make profit when you're reducing the cost of things so much. And with shoppers being more savvy and be able to check online versus in store and do it all very quickly on the move wherever they are.
I think it does just get back to the point about the level of discount. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Black Friday or Cyber Monday as an event. And I think events are very effective throughout the year, whether it's Valentine's Day, Easter, Christmas, to engage shoppers and create excitement and interest. But Black Friday was so much about deep discounts, and it just feels that was not necessary to create the level of hype and the level of excitement. You know, how about a halfway house? How about reducing those discounts, spreading it over a larger amount of time? There's still the interest created, but it's not so obsessive.
A Black Friday and Cyber Monday here to stay? A permanent fixture in the retail calendar?
I think it'll be difficult to go back and not, but I think we need to rethink, as we talked about, the timings, maybe the level of discount and how that's kind of managed.
I think, again, it's a drug that's difficult to get rid of next year. Having said that, I think the year that's just gone, 2015, retailers were talking about it being a lower level or a lower, it being less important in their calendar than it was the first year in 2014.
I understand a lot of retailers have a big focus on promotions, particularly on how they make decisions on what products go on gondola ends. And from discussions I've had, sometimes you actually need to justify getting the space on off-shelf feature. And if your product is not discounted enough, maybe the volume won't be enough, and actually it doesn't meet the hurdle rates that retailers need. That there might be competing, one category manager might or buyer might be competing with a whole range of other buyers to try to get space. And if the promotions aren't deemed good enough and hit the rates, you don't get the space at all.
It's said Black Friday and Cyber Monday break traditional Christmas spend patterns. Is this a good or a bad thing?
I think the principle of bringing forward purchase is a good one from a retailer's point of view. It's about getting shoppers to spend their money sooner. And of course, giving them more time to come back for a second bite of the cherry. So I think in principle it's good.
I think it depends on the category. So how expandable is that category? We were talking about confectionery earlier. And, you know, if you're buying your seasonal tin in September and it not making it past the end of the month, but that tin was kind of intended for Christmas and your Christmas guests, you have to go out and buy another. So how expandable is it?
What about the logistics and pressure put on supply chains to cope with Black Friday?
Can be intense. I mean, we've seen riots. We've seen big queues outside supermarkets. We've seen inability to satisfy that demand from stores. So yes, it's not optimal at all from a supply chain point of view.
Forecasting for promotions is hard to get absolutely right and the availability correct in all stores. Particularly in smaller stores, maybe that can't have the sort of the volumes that you get in a larger format supermarket. It's tough work, and if you put more pressure on getting that forecast right by a massive spike in demand, you are going to get riots in store when they can't get their hands on what they're advertising.
I think the wider question is around discounting before Christmas. So, in this country, we're used to paying full price for presents in the run up to Christmas, in the couple of weeks before Christmas, and discounting perhaps in those few weeks before Christmas feels as if it's bringing forward the January sales, and perhaps retailers are going to lose out on the Christmas occasion and move straight to the January sales clear out in mid-December.
I think it used to be Boxing Day, everyone went mad and then bought all the used all the vouchers that your granny had given you, because that Boxing Day was the massive spike, and the preparation for that specific day, and as a retailer, was was massively important.
Well, traditionally, of course, it was the January sales. It was the 1st or the 2nd of January when the stores opened and revealed their sale prices. But it has been creeping forward, and as you say, Boxing Day. But I think even in the last few years, even before Black Friday became a phenomenon, we were seeing the sales starting a few days before Christmas as retailers realised that their Christmases were not going to be as lucrative as perhaps they hoped.
So is it driven then by retailers or by suppliers in terms of wanting market share? Retailers wanting the share of the retail market and suppliers wanting the share of their category that they're operating in.
I think retailers and suppliers are both in control of the promotional activity. I mean suppliers generally fund promotional activity rather than retailers, but retailers ultimately have the ultimate decision on what they sell, at what price they sell at, and what they promote.
Do we think that seasons are happening earlier? So Black Friday is one example in the Christmas period. Then we had an element of Easter creeping in before the new year came. Equally now we have Valentine's Day creeping in. So do we think there's I don't know, is it a new habit, or is there something that the seasons appear to be coming earlier and earlier and earlier?
I mean, we also hear that people are actually waiting till much later to spend the money. So booking summer holidays, booking skiing trips, people are holding back and actually deciding to spend the money later. So there are different dynamics going on here, I think.
Well, I've already seen a Cadbury's cream advert, and it was early January. So in terms of bringing things forward, yes. A number of years ago, I happened to work for Marks & Spencer, and we were looking at Christmas card sales. And at that point, so quite a while ago, Christmas cards went out on display in the store in the middle of August. But that first 10 weeks worth of sales only accounted for about 1% of their total volume. So, you know, bringing it too far early actually potentially can irritate shoppers. It's not Christmas yet, it's August.
Absolutely, and that's my point. So, you go to a store over the Christmas period before New Year's, and you're kind of still in that Christmas experience or glow, yeah. And here you're faced with an Easter egg. For me, there has to be a point where we make defined times, defined themes, and it doesn't dilute for the shopper.
Exactly. I think it supports the idea of having a regular program or regular plan of events through the year. So you don't have to rely on Christmas in September for a display. You've got Bonfire Night, you've got Halloween, you've got other events going on through in the build-up to Christmas to create excitement and create shopper engagement that ease people into Christmas. And then when you get to mid-December, you can actually get seriously excited about Christmas.
when you're allowed to have that discussion, you have the excitement happening. But Halloween didn't used to be a huge event. Asda do a particularly good job of making their stores feel massively Halloween-y. That seasonal aisle really comes to life. Yeah, they do a great job.
And I think excitement and interest in stores, as I said earlier, is, I think, one part of promotion. If you can get people engaged and thinking about the occasion, they will purchase to support that excitement and that interest rather than necessary because it's discounted. So an occasion, you know, stimulates purchase, stimulates consumption.
It seems to me that Christmas officially starts with the release of the John Lewis commercial. Do you think this type of marketing trend is set to continue?
I think what seems to be changing is that emotional connection and the resonance that these adverts are trying to bring. It's almost a competition of which retailer can make you cry the most.
I think specifically for John Lewis, it's an interesting journey that John Lewis has been on. Because I remember a time, I'm old enough to remember when John Lewis did not advertise, Waitrose did not advertise. It was against their corporate ethos.
Or Marks & Spencer.
Or Marks & Spencer. And perhaps, you know, I mean John Lewis is clearly on a route from becoming a relatively niche player 20 or 30 years ago, you know, when they had relatively fewer stores and relatively less awareness. And they didn't used to take credit cards. A number of these retailers didn't accept credit cards. So they've become much more mainstream. And I think advertising is really just part of that journey.
And if you think of what the discounters did over Christmas, for me, was like their communication was all about premium and family and getting together and that good feel. And then it came that it was, you know, Aldi or Lidl, which was nearly a shock factor, nearly for some shoppers, that you could get this whole wide experience within the discounters. So that, you know, that would have been really beneficial for them.
The experts are predicting a good year in 2016. Is this a triumph of hope over expectation?
I think we have a rocky road ahead in terms of consumer confidence, consumer expectations for this year. I think on the one hand, yes, I guess we're feeling a little bit more comfortable. We're seeing average wages increase a little bit more. You know, there's possibly a little bit of inflationary pressure there, so the economy might move forward a little bit. Having said that, you know, we hear problems in the Far East, we hear problems with the Chinese economy. So I think there's a kind of an acceleration and a break going on here. There are competing factors that I think will make people on the one hand feel more positive and want to spend more, but on the other hand feeling slightly like pulling back.
And that's where we must call time on this Big River Solutions podcast. As ever, my thanks to the panel, Simon Spicer, Jenny Monroe and Neil Hutton. And if you want to find out more, please visit bigriversolutions.com. This has been a TDC production. I'm Nikki Lloyd-Williams, and we hope you can join us next time.